Welcome to the Backstage Business Radio Show. Hello, friends. This is Pamela Muldoon, your host, on this rainy, icy Minnesota afternoon. But there's a lot of positive energy out there. Of course, it's a big game tomorrow. We've got a lot going on in the Twin Cities here this weekend. And the show is no exception. I've got your attention, I hope, for the next couple of hours. So just want to take care of some housekeeping issues in terms of that. Of course, you're listening here live on Business 1570 AM. And you can also live stream on the Internet. So make sure that you let your friends know. You can live stream at business1570.com or also nextstagebusinessradio.com has a listen live button. So if you got friends outside of the Twin Cities market, it's a great opportunity for them to get some wonderful business advice, resources, tips, maybe even a little inspiration on a gray Saturday afternoon. And also as a side note, we are into our third show. Got this amazing team always working behind the scenes to make some wonderful things happen. And we are archiving our shows every single week on nextstagebusinessradio.com. So if you don't get to hear us live, or if you miss a little something because you're going in and out of your car and there's something coming up that you want to hear, no worries. We do what we can to get this uploaded onto the website by Sunday, by the next day, so that it's ready to go for those that want to listen to something again, or maybe, like some of our topics today, you heard something and you want to catch it. It was that important. You needed to listen to it again. So I just wanted to make sure you're aware of that. And we do have a wonderful, wonderful show to round out your Saturday afternoon. My first segment is the team of advisors, and I'm excited to have my financial advisor and business attorney team here today to talk about business succession planning. So in just a minute or two, we're going to connect with Todd Terhorst from Diversified Wealth Management and also Jeff O'Brien, business attorney with Mansfield, Panic & Cohen. And we're going to talk business succession planning and the importance of not only doing that, but the process and some of the key points to that. Of course, I always like to connect and make sure that you as business owners and people in business are aware of different groups and organizations around the Twin Cities that are here to support you in business. And I'm pretty darn excited because as a marketing consultant, I am knee-deep, I'm actually probably neck-deep into this whole social media phenomenon that's going on. And we have Rick Mann here today. He has founded and is co-organizing an organization called Social Media Breakfast Minneapolis. If you are hashtagging any of this on the Internet, it's SMBMSP. And it's an amazing group that's really skyrocketed here in the Twin Cities. We're excited to have Rick. And then into our second hour, as always, we highlight a small business in the area for you to hear a little bit about the products and services they provide and the wonderful leap of faith that they've done from taking themselves into their own business. And we have Bumblebee Personal Assistance, Mary Bumblebee. Her real name is Mary Pokluda from Bumblebee Personal Assistance, but all her friends know her as Mary Bumblebee. She's going to be on to share more about her company. And at the tail end of all of this, we have a gentleman by the name of Scott Ginsburg. He's also known as the name tag guy. And he's going to be here in our Leaders and Teachers segment to talk to us about the power and importance of being approachable, what it means to really network a room, and, of course, how that connects to leadership in everyday life. So, whew, I'm exhausted just thinking about all the stuff ahead. So I'm ready to hit her hard, and I know I've got Todd Terhorst sitting right here from Diversified Wealth Management. Hi, Todd. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you, Pamela?
Excellent. It's a little dreary out.
It is.
A little wet, so yes. We do want everybody to drive carefully today. And then, of course, we have Jeff O'Brien, Mansfield, Panic & Cohen. Hi, Jeff. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Excellent. And you're probably hearing a slight difference in terms of quality from the voice. So you're off site today, yes, Jeff?
I am. I am just outside the Becker High School Fieldhouse in Becker, Minnesota, for the Becker Area Chamber of Commerce Business Expo.
Awesome. So you're doing double duty today.
Wow.
I am. My partner Greg Perlberg, who's going to be on the show with me next week, and I are staffing a booth here. So anybody that's listening, that's in the Becker area, if you haven't come down here yet, you're missing out. You need to come down here after the show, of course.
After the show, of course, absolutely. Or just, you know, carry it around on, I suppose you almost have to, you got a radio on your phone. I
mean, yeah, you can listen all kinds of places nowadays.
Hey, you can live stream it on the Internet, so you could probably live stream it on your phone, I'm thinking. So, awesome. Well, welcome to the show, guys. You are a part of my team of advisor team, and when we plan this out ahead of time, we want to make sure we're touching on topics that are real vital to our business community, not necessarily regardless of size, I guess, would be the way to look at it. I mean, the topic that we've chosen for today is business succession planning. So I want to just start diving right in, and let's start with some of the basics. So when should a business owner really consider business succession planning, and why is this so important? Which one of you would like to take that first?
Well, Pamela, I'll go ahead. Usually the discussion usually starts with me as the business attorney.
Okay.
And then, and this is one of those where we talked before about estate planning, where it's Todd having a discussion and coming my way. It's vice versa here. I have the discussion and then send them Todd's way. Really, the time to start thinking about the exit strategy or the succession plan, it's kind of funny. It is at the outset of the business. It's when you start the business. It's when you purchase a business, if you're purchasing a business. That's really the time to have the discussion about where you're going with it, all the way to the end.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I agree. Yep. And many times, depending on, you know, if you're coming out of another career and starting a later age phase of your life with a new business versus someone who's, you know, in their 20s and came up with a great idea and wanted to start their own business, it's still something you need to think through ahead of time. You may not have a clear path as to how you're going to exit the business if you're starting it at a young age, but it's still something to keep in mind, and it's still something that, like Jeff said, if you start with the attorney, you need to at least give your attorney some idea of, you know, what you see time frame wise, what you see as far as bringing potential partners and other people into the business. So it's definitely something. I agree with Jeff completely.
And because this is something you should really be thinking about when you start your business, do you guys ever find that a challenge to have that conversation? Because when we start a business, we're excited to get going. We've got this passion. We've got this purpose for what we do. We've got a widget we want to sell. We don't want to talk about killing the business, right, or stopping it when we're starting it. How do you do, why, what are some of the reasons why, when you explain to your clients why it's important to have this conversation early on?
Well, part of why it's important is because it plays back into another key issue of a business success, which is having a business plan. And a well-written, well-planned business plan not only contemplates looking at the competitive analysis and the market and the marketing strategies and all that during the business to grow it and make it successful, but a thorough, well-written business plan contemplates the end game, you know, the exit strategy. And if any business that's out there that's seeking, like, say, investors, for example, an investor is going to ask, what's the exit strategy? What's the end game? How do I get my money?
Sure.
So it's one of those things that it plays, I use the discussion about exit strategy. It comes up in the context of the business plan, and I always say that, you know, it's something that I need to know as an advisor, Todd needs to know as an advisor, in order to satisfy our clients' objectives and expectations.
Yeah, the other area it usually hits home for my clients when I'm dealing with them is one of the key things we address, of course, is retirement planning. And everybody who owns a business at some point hopes to retire, and they can, you know, may or may not decide to leave a business earlier or leave a business, you know, late into their actual quote-unquote retirement. Either way, though, we have to address, is the business going to have value at the time you're ready to retire? How are you going to get out of the business? Is it going to be a son or a daughter? Is it going to be a third party? You're going to put it on, you know, through a broker or some kind of third party sale, and that is going to play in tremendously into what assets they have when they're ready to retire.
Because really, when you're starting a business, even though you're excited and it's one of the most exciting moments of your life, really, when you start a business, I can say this firsthand. The bottom line is it's intended to be a vehicle that provides money
sure.
for not only yourself, your family, but also if there are employees involved. I mean, it becomes a very layered process. So we're going to talk and address mainly today Jeff and Todd's viewpoint on this, but who are the other advisors that I should be having a conversation with other than the two of you? Who else comes into play during this time?
I would say, most often, you're going to have a CPA, an accountant, also involved. I would say that, of course, the attorney and usually a financial advisor, but the CPA is usually one of the key advisors because they're, in a different way, intimately involved with understanding the numbers of the business. What and how are we going to operate the business? What kind of income should you expect? How are the tax ramifications going to play into that?
Okay. And I guess I want to ask this question, and in terms of either of you have had an experience around this, the bank, I mean, if there's a loan involved or a possible small business loan, is there a conversation with the banker that needs to take place and encompass both or either of you as well? Jeff, has that ever been a key part of the process for you?
Yeah, you know, what Todd said about, you know, the CPA, the financial advisor, and the business attorney, that's really the core.
Yep.
I always say, you know, a lot of people say, you know, the estate attorney, the estate planning attorney, too. If your business attorney does both, then it's, you've got the double whammy. But if you don't, if your business attorney doesn't do estate planning, you need to have that, too, because it all plays into it. The banker, you know, the business plan, you know, consultant or whoever you've got, you know, it never hurts to have more than enough advisors in terms of thinking about all the things that maybe the business owner isn't right off hand.
Well, and Jeff, you mentioned the business plan, and you know, I'm passionate myself about the planning process. It's just key to really making sure you're accomplishing what you want to accomplish. So when you're putting together the plan, which is important for the banking or the loaning process, it sounds like there's a lot of moving parts where if we're having conversations with each of our advisors, we're going to have a stronger plan.
That's exactly right.
Okay, excellent. And what we want to do is also talk about some of those things. Todd, you started to go down this path a little bit. Business succession planning, it's an umbrella, really,
yes.
A general topic. Yep. But there are a lot of moving parts. What I want to do is get started on a conversation here on maybe one of the most common business succession plannings, and then we'll go to break here in a little bit and come back and continue.
Sure.
But can you provide maybe a starting point on something you've seen very common?
Absolutely. You know, you a lot of times you'll have a person who started the business, has worked and developed that business, whether it's a one-person shop or a, you know, a 10, 15, even 100 employee group, and they're getting to an age, and a lot of times they won't start thinking about it, unfortunately, contrary to what Jeff and I were just saying, that they should have been thinking about it from the start, until they're getting to a point where they're really tired and or they're ready to phase out. So they look and say, okay, do I have a son or daughter that might want to take over the business? Do I have a key employee? Or am I going to look outside and look at my competition, maybe, that might be interested in buying into the business?
So what we're going to do is we're going to take a little break here, and when we come back, let's address those three different areas for sure. You know, whether it's a child or a family business, you want to follow through, key person, just all those different elements. And so we'll be back in just a minute with Jeff O'Brien from Mansfield Tannigan Cohen. We also have Todd Terhorst, Diversified Wealth Management. We're talking business succession planning, why it's so important, and when to make sure you're putting this into your business plan. It's Next Stage Business Radio Show. I'm Pamela Muldoon. You're listening to Business 1570. Welcome back to the Next Stage Business Radio Show. I am your host. I'm Pamela Muldoon, and I am here with two of my favorite guys, two of my favorite advisors. I've got Todd Terhorst from Diversified Wealth Management. Also, Jeff O'Brien is on the phone line live in Becker today from Mansfield, Tannick & Cohen. We're talking business succession planning, why it's important, when you should have the conversation, who should be on your team. Before we went to break, we started to break down some different scenarios. So let's start breaking those down in a little more detail for our audience, if you guys are willing to do that. Let's start with the family member. There's a lot of family-owned businesses out there. Mom and dad or you know, parent starts the business, and then a few years later, one of the kids graduates from high school, maybe graduates from college, has been working in the business, and now it's time to have that discussion. So let's talk about passing to a family member and some of the interesting elements involved.
Well, oftentimes, again, we come up with the topic when we're talking about that original founder of the business, the parent, so to speak, talking about retiring. And sometimes they already have a son or daughter that's part of the business, that's entered into the business a few years ago. Sometimes they haven't yet, and the question becomes, are any of your children likely to follow in your footsteps, interested in joining the family business?
So you're having this conversation even at the very beginning.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. And I think whether in either scenario, that becomes an important part of the planning going forward. Obviously, it's easier to have specific conversation about it when there's already a a child, or it doesn't have to be a child, it could be a niece or a nephew, or,
sure,
or a younger brother, or, but having that conversation when they're already involved makes it easier because you can actually talk about real-time issues. Are they, you know, at what point do you think they're going to be ready to phase into a more formal takeover role?
Okay. And Jeff, do you have anything to add to that from the attorney perspective?
Yeah, and this is, you know, I put my estate planning hat on, too, because there's two issues. Number one is a lot of times, some of the, if it's not a, there's a lot of different ways to structure that succession from parent to child. Sometimes it's a purchase, but sometimes it's an out-and-out, you know, gift of the stock in a will or a trust. And when, if it's that way, then one of the things that has to be taken into consideration, obviously, is a lot of times if there's multiple children, parents, you know, feel a little bit obligated to equalize things in the estate plan. So
sure,
if son is going to get the business and it's worth X dollars, maybe the daughter is the sole, you know, is a beneficiary of a life insurance plan or gets some kind of cash gift to equalize that. That's an equal concern here, that not only do you have to worry, be concerned about the children that are taking over the business, but also the planning for the children that aren't and making sure that there aren't any hard feelings or issues.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point. I think we've all either, you know, been involved or have friends or people that have a what we call the horror story at at the funeral home or, you know, in certain situations where you're having discussions too late. So really, this isn't just about the business anymore. You're talking about an all-around encompassing it really involves that financial planner piece, Todd, because you're now looking at the different vehicles that they have as individuals, not just as a business, so that everybody gets a little piece and a little respect in the situation. And in terms of getting ready, and we don't have to dive into this, but what, you know, I start thinking about all the moving parts. I mean, now you're dealing with cultural issues, you know, what other advisors and experts may be necessary to come in and make that, you know, succession that seamless, or at least semi-seamless, obviously, when you have a head of state and then a family member comes in or a different family member. So there's a lot of key elements to there from the trust or the estate, you know, planning piece. Now, differentiate, if you will, we're talking, you know, again, we can only spend a little time on each segment, and this is a pretty diverse topic. Key person issues. Now, this is not necessarily family, but can it be family, or how does that kind of interplay?
Well, it can be a family member. That in most cases, when we're talking about key person, usually, not always, but usually, the child is or becomes, or it's planned to be, that the child will be the key person, or one of a couple key people. A lot of times when we talk about key person planning and passing a business on to a key person or people that aren't already partners or owners of the company, you're talking about trying to groom someone who isn't a family member, and that can be in some cases kind of difficult. You have to have obviously trust in this person. You have to be able to trust that they're going to be able to run and operate the business successfully after you're gone.
Right.
Because in many cases, a succession plan doesn't just mean they go to the bank, they buy or they borrow money, and they pay you off as you walk out the door. It could mean that you're paying a stream of income to the business owner after they've left.
Sure.
And so that person has to be someone that is trustworthy and that has an interest in maintaining and continuing to grow the business over the however many years they're going to be there.
And just to add to that, you know, some of the interesting moving parts, I mean, give us some examples from an attorney perspective, some of the things I should be considering. You know, like Todd's mentioning, I'm the owner, I'm moving out of the business, but I want this business to pay me through my retirement or through a certain phase or something like that. What are some of the other elements that are important to remember?
Well, this actually comes up a lot in the world of attorneys, as well as, you know, medical professionals and others, because there's certain professions that are regulated by the state, and I'll go off on a tangent here for a minute. There's a statute called the Minnesota Professional Firms Act, which if you're governed by that, if you opt to be governed by that, you can't pass the business to a child or a spouse. You have to pass it to someone who's a licensed professional. It has to do with decisions of professional care and things like that.
Okay.
And so this comes up very often when, you know, you might have senior partner in a medical practice or a dental practice or a law practice, might be a solo lawyer, bringing in young person to take over the business. And there's always this piece of, you know, there's this trade-off of you're using the senior person's goodwill, name recognition for a period of time, you know, in exchange for the new person buying out that senior person. It could be a payment over time. There's all sorts of different ways to value, very subjective as to how you would value a personal services practice like that.
Yeah.
So it gets to be a sticky issue, which is all the more reason to be talking to, you know, your CPA, maybe, other professionals in the industry. There's business valuators available that have certain niche practices that could help value those types of practices. So if you're in something like that where you have that kind of unique succession planning issue, you have to really be in touch with your team to try to get a handle on how you're going to do it.
And I would add, there's some, going along with what Jeff said, there's some businesses that just inherently are much easier to pass on. If I start a Subway franchise, nobody comes to Subway to because it's my Subway, it's because of the location, because they like Subways, whatever the issue might be. Whereas many of the professional service organizations, it all has to do, we call it, and Jeff mentioned it, goodwill, but it has to do with the name recognition and the reputation and the relationship, in most cases, of the person who's running the business.
Sure.
And it can take a long time to transition credibility from whether it's a son or daughter or a key person. Your clients, and many times, have to kind of get used to the idea that they're going to be dealing with someone other than you,
right,
if you're the business owner.
But so we're really talking here, like physicians as an example, or maybe even more, just service professionals, attorneys, financial advisors. I mean, you guys see a lot of intimate details of a person's life and situation, so there's that trust, which is really interesting, because when we talk about business, it seems, there's so many about the black and white, the expense column, the debit column, but there's, as you grow your business, it gets a little more complicated than that,
sure,
doesn't
it? Absolutely, yeah.
Well, and let's talk a little bit about that value piece, because we're starting to go down that road here. The value of a business. Now, if I'm in a position where I've grown my business, again, that fine line between what's on the documents, the paperwork, and what's in my heart, my blood, sweat, and tears that I put into this. So I think it's worth X amount of dollars, but a valuation expert comes in and says, well, not quite. So tell us about that, the value of the business, how that plays into the business succession planning.
Well, I can tell you from even current business owners that I'm working with that it is very hard. The smaller the business, and the more the business relies on that goodwill, that reputation of the owner of the business, for several owners, the more difficult it is to come up with an actual value. Because the first question you ask yourself is my business worth the same with me gone as it is with me in there?
Right.
And usually the answer is probably not, unless you've really gone out of your way to transition the credibility and phase yourself out over time so that the business continues to operate on its own, basically, or with another key person that's kind of taken the reins from you.
So what we're really talking about here is the classic E-Myth situation, to kind of quote Michael Gerber's book, The E-Myth, is, the more technician you are in your business, the more you're going to feel it's valued at a more emotional price. Would that be, I guess, a way to put it?
That would be, yeah.
But if you've really developed systems, solid systems in your business that have allowed other people to take the reins while you're away, or you just have a real,
right,
it's moving on its own a little more. Now you're dealing with more of what we would term, I don't want to say a real business, but it's truly considered a business.
Right. And the valuation issue also comes up and becomes a kind of a sticky issue. I'm sure Jeff has seen it too, when you have a son, daughter, son, father, whatever the combination is, they want to give the business, but they also need to sell the business. In other words, they need the value from the business to retire properly, but they don't want to charge as much, maybe, or they don't want to try to sell it for as much to the son or daughter as they would to a third party. But they also know that the third party is not going to be willing to pay nearly as much as the business might be worth to them. So it becomes kind of the circular issue that you have to work through. And like Jeff mentioned, there's many, many ways to structure these agreements.
And Pamela, Todd, you just brought up a very good point, and you and I actually talked about this on the phone this week, this very point. We go back to the discussion of the timing of when you start having these discussions and the team you have. This really highlights something where Todd's role is vital, because 9 times out of 10, a business owner is not going to get enough money out of the sale of their business to live the rest of their lives the way they want to, and to meet their lifestyle needs. And this is why, right at the outset, when you're forming a business, you pick up the phone and you call a Todd Surhorst, or I do as their attorney, so that there is a diversification of investment. So it's not just all the eggs in the company basket. Todd is putting them into other investment vehicles, so that even with the sale of the business owner, their spouse, their family, can maintain the lifestyle that they want in their retirement years.
It's a very valid point. It also just plays to the idea that the advisory team, even you as advisors, need to be building your team of other advisors to help us as business people do things smart and right for our situation. So what we're going to do, we're going to go to break here. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about ways you can exit the business. And I think we're also going to touch on buy-sell agreements and why that's important, or the situations that's important as well. So we're going to be back with Todd Surhorst and Jeff O'Brien in just a little bit. And again, you're listening to Next Stage Business Radio Show. I'm Pamela Muldoon, and the station is Business 1570.
Song for the broken hearted.
Welcome back to the Next Stage Business Radio Show. I'm your host, Pamela Muldoon, and we are talking by business succession planning here with Todd Surhorst from Diversified Wealth Management, our financial advisor on our team. And we also have Jeff O'Brien, a business attorney from Mansfield, Tanik & Cohen. And before we went to break, we were talking about some specific scenarios, and I kind of teed up something I think is really important. You know, why would and what situations would a buy-sell agreement come into play during this business succession process?
I would say almost in any circumstance where you're going to be passing the business to someone else, you're going to have what we would generally term the buy-sell agreement. And Jeff can probably go into all kinds of details about it. We could probably do an entire show on buy-sell agreements. But I think in the basic, most basic terms, you're just simply laying out the time frame, the strategies, the terms, and it's going to come back to a lot of legal issues. It's going to come back to some tax planning issues. And it's going to come back to estate planning issues, et cetera, et cetera. So it's always going to be important when you're doing a buy-sell agreement to have your team of advisors ready to go.
Well, agreement to me means contract. So that's where I think I'm going to give my attorney a call. Is that right, Jeff?
That's right. Yeah, you know, so the buy-sell agreement's kind of a multifunctional animal. There's, you know, it's sometimes referred to as the business prenuptial agreement for other reasons. You know, it's a way of... My view is if you're in business with somebody else, whether it be your brother, your best friend, whoever, you need to have one and have this you need to have the provisions laid out so you don't have an expensive court fight trying to unwind the business so everybody gets their piece of it. But in this context with succession planning, there's just a few key pieces. And what I always tell people is, you know, when you use the buy sell as a succession planning vehicle, it's a way of giving. Is a way of the original business owners, you know, keeping their ownership group the way they intended to, you know, not doing business with a surviving spouse or a child or whomever, but also giving the departing owner's family, the owner or their family, the economic benefit of the partner's hard work in the business.
That's right. And we see many times where someone will say, oh, I have an agreement with my partner. And I ask them, you know, delve down a little deeper, and they don't really have a buy-sell agreement, nothing formal. They've just kind of handshook and said, if you die or when you're ready to retire, here's what we'll do. And hopefully they're still good friends and are willing to make sure that they follow through on their agreement, whether they're, again, like Jeff said, your brother or your best friend.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, sometimes it doesn't happen that way.
Well, because in most small business situations, I mean, the folks that are working together have a very close relationship. And if they didn't have one before they started the business, more than likely, hopefully they've developed an even closer relationship. But, yes, life happens, as we sometimes say. So even though it's not necessarily the fun, sexy part of the business, contracts and agreements are important. And this goes, you know, what I'm hearing from both of you is, again, looking forward 5, 10, 15, maybe even 20, 30 years down the road, at certain what-if scenarios during that process of kicking the business off.
Right, and that's key for me when I'm helping someone plan their entire financial picture to know when roughly they're going to be leaving the business, what income or payout is going to come at the tail end, where it's coming from. You know, during their working years, oftentimes a business owner will have a piece of some equity in their business, and if they die or they become disabled, how's that going to work? Are your heirs, your wife, whoever, your husband, are they going to have your shares of the company, or are they going to have the value of the company? And how is that all going to work?
And what does that mean? You know, what does that actually mean on paper? And, you know, as we kind of wind down the topic, one area I want to make sure, because we are talking about, you know, at the beginning of a business, not necessarily ending the business, but ending a certain phase of the business. So what are some ways that you can exit the business? I mean, and what I mean that in, you know, like selling of the business and the financing piece, so that it's almost when you come at the end of the business, you're really talking to the same people from the beginning. Is that correct? I mean, it's like a cycle that's really re-kicking itself off, because there might be a sale that takes place or an exchange of funds. So it's almost like there's a cycle of the business, of the advisors that started with you are going to be there at the end to kind of re-kick this off. Is that correct?
It really is. You know, part of, you know, real basic, other than, you know, outright gifting it to a child or children in an estate plan, you know, you can sell the shares in a business, you could sell the assets of a business. In terms of financing, it could be a seller financing, or, you know, with a promissory note and maybe a security interest, or it could be an outright, you know, sale for cash with the buyer finding financing from a bank, or it could be a combination of both. And all those different structures bring up different issues, legal issues, liability issues, you know, buying the stock of a business versus buying the asset.
Sure.
Has implications for, you know, liability and employee issues. There's tax ramifications, and then getting back to what I mentioned before, making sure that the discussion is with your financial advisor, like Todd, so that you're taking the proceeds from the sale and investing them in a way that allows you to maintain the lifestyle that you want.
Well, because really, we're looking to you guys to see things we don't see.
Right.
I mean, bottom line, you're going to see things we don't see. And, I mean, as we're having this even short conversation, there's a lot of moving parts. So even though we're talking about at the beginning that we're going to have something change in 5, 10, 15, 20 years, then there's the process in between, the constant, let's remind our audience how important it is to stay in contact with our advisors that helped us kick off this process, right?
Right. Well, and it's certainly, whether it's the attorney like Jeff or myself or whoever you happen to be working with, hopefully your team of advisors are doing their job properly in staying on top of all these issues, having enough ongoing dialogue and understanding how things are changing in your business to eventually say, you know, we probably need to tweak that buy-sell agreement, or we really need to address that as differently in your retirement plan.
Because, of course, laws change and you know, the IRS changes.
They sure do.
And all sorts of things. So, well, this has been such a great topic, and you guys mentioned we could probably do a whole show on just the buy-sell agreement. So, audience, if that's something you're interested in, we do have a comment section on our website, nextstagebusinessradio.com, and we're building out a lot of this. It's a work in progress. But if you have a topic for these guys that you want addressed or you want to hear something more, please shoot an email to us at Next Stage Business Radio. These guys would be more than happy to address anything that you think is important enough. So, Jeff, I want to thank you for calling in from Becker today. We appreciate it.
Thank you. It was fun discussion.
Yeah, and you and Greg will be on next week. We're going to talk intellectual property.
Yep.
Yeah, patents and copyrights and trademarks. Oh, my. You know, so maybe that's the name of our little gig next week. So thanks again. Of course, Jeff is with Mansfield, Tannick & Cohen. You can catch them at mansfieldtannick.com. And thank you, Todd. Always a pleasure to have
you
in the studio.
Thank you.
Excellent. So while you're heading out, be sure to drive safe. Enjoy your time with the family today.
Absolutely.
And, of course, Diversified Wealth Management. That is diversifiedwealthmanagement.com. Both these guys are part of my team of advisors at Next Stage Business Radio. So we're going to go to break. We're going to come back. We have Rick Mon in-house waiting. Here he is. Social Media Breakfast Minneapolis is on deck. You're listening to Next Stage Business Radio Show. Pamela Muldoon on Business 1570.
I was looking at all the life. There were plants and birds and rocks and things. There were